Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Live Through Jesus podcast with Courtney Gilmore. On this episode, make the most of your life. This is Ecclesiastes 11 and 12. When you're young, you don't like to think about the fact that one day you'll get old and die, right? No one wants to think about those things. But if we don't, then it's very easy to just go on and live your life without thinking about the fact that maybe one day you won't be able to do all of the things that you're able to do right now, and one day you won't be around at all. And so Solomon ends Ecclesiastes by reminding us to make the most of our life while we have the ability to do that. He doesn't want us to waste our time here. And he doesn't want us to waste the beginning of our life and get to the end and have regrets. And so we're going to go through chapter 11 and 12, just as the rest of this book. It's very philosophical, and it's going to take a little bit of deciphering. It's not an easy read, but we're going to read some verses and then go back and talk about them, what they're actually talking about. And then we'll also talk about how it applies to our life and look at some other scriptures. And so in Ecclesiastes 11, 1 through 6, it says, "Cast your bread on the surface of the waters, for you will find it after many days. Divide your portion to seven, or even to eight, for you do not know what misfortune may occur on the earth. If the clouds are full, they pour out rain upon the earth. And whether a tree falls towards the south or towards the north, wherever the tree falls, there it lies. He who watches the wind will not sow, and he who looks in the clouds will not reap. Just as you don't know the path of the wind or how the bones are formed in the womb of a pregnant woman, so you do not know the activity of God who makes all things. Sow your seed in the morning and do not be idle in the evening, for you do not know whether morning or evening sowing will succeed or whether both of them alike will be good." And so when he says, cast your bread on the surface of the waters, he's saying, spread your efforts over many different opportunities, and then eventually you'll see the results. And when he says, divide your portion because you don't know what misfortune may occur, he's saying, diversify. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Make sure that you spread your efforts out over many different avenues so that you have a lot of ways that you can succeed. And that way, if one of them fails, another one will succeed. And if you fall on hard times, you have something there that is making you money or benefiting you in some way. And so you don't have to wait for, you know, the big investment to come in later or whatever. You kind of, you know, do the things that'll give you short-term gain, long-term gain, you know, take a risk, do the safe things, all of that, so that you have many options. That's what he's saying here. And then in verse 3, he says, if the clouds are full, they'll pour out rain on the earth, and wherever the tree falls, there's where it falls. What he's trying to say is, you don't know when the cloud is finally going to pour the water on the earth. You don't know when it's going to be full enough. It's going to decide, okay, I'm full enough, I'm going to rain now. And you don't know which way the wind's going to blow, so you don't know which way the tree's going to fall. And he says, if a person is trying to determine the clouds, so trying to figure out when it's going to rain, or determine the wind, which way it's going to blow, then they're just not going to do anything. And so he's talking about a farmer, you know, someone that is planting their seed. And he's saying, well, I don't know when to plant because I'm not really sure when it's going to rain. And I'm not really sure if the wind's going to blow this way or that way. And so I'm not really sure how to, you know, position everything and when to do it and all of that. And God said, those people do nothing. All they do is sit around and make plans and try to figure things out. And joke's on them because they're not in charge of any of this anyway, because that's what the next verse says when he says, you know, you don't know which way the wind's going to blow, and you don't know how the bones are formed in the pregnant woman's womb. God is the one that is in charge of all of these things. And so you are trying to determine outcomes by things that you have no control over or no knowledge of. God is the only one. He is the determining factor of many of these things. And that's why we spread our seed over the surface of many waters. That's why we make sure that we diversify, because We can't tell which one is going to succeed or which one isn't because we don't know how the wind's going to blow and when the rain is going to come. And that goes for everything. You know, he's not just talking about farmers. He's saying for all of us, we can't sit around and try to anticipate and wait for the conditions to be perfect and, you know, make the perfect plan before we act. It's like, just get on it. Just work. Just work in the morning, work at night, because you don't know which one is going to take. And so basically he's saying, work as hard as you can, do your best, and let me take care of the results, because you're not in charge of those things anyway. And so I want to read you a couple of verses that have to do with that, that talk about this over the course of the rest of the Bible, so that you can see that God tells us these things always. And he also gives us a little bit of insight as to why he does this sometimes. In Proverbs 14:23, he says, "In all labor there is profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty." So that goes to this thing of the person that is trying to determine the rain doesn't sow, and the person that is trying to determine the wind doesn't reap. And so don't sit around and talk about it. Make a decision. If any of you have ever been in a Baptist church business meeting, maybe you know what I'm talking about, because the Baptist church that I was from when I was a kid would talk about buying carpet for a literal year. It's like every single time we would talk about something and we would, you know, get a price and try to find the color and all of these different things. And every time we'd say, okay, we'll think about this or look into this and then we'll get back next month. And then we would do that over and over again. It's exhausting. And so it, you know, don't be like that. God's obviously not talking about churches and carpets, but that's a pretty good example of how when you sit around and try to figure everything out, eventually, you know, you don't do anything. And so he's like, quit talking about it and get it done. And then I'll take care of the rest of it. Proverbs 16:1-3 says, "The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs motives. So commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established." So he's like, you make all the plans you want to, but the results are in God's hands. When he says the answer of the tongue is from the Lord, the results are in his hands. What happens in the end is determined by him. So you can make all the plans you want. It doesn't mean that they're going to come about the way that you want them to. And so just commit your works to the Lord. So do what you believe God is asking you to do. Just work hard, put all your effort into it, and then your plans will be established. Things will work out. God will take care of you, but you need to get to work. And then I love this chapter. You don't really think about Job being the most encouraging book or the one that you necessarily want to read, but I think the end of Job is absolutely hilarious. And so this is in Job 37:5-18. And it says, "God thunders with his voice wondrously, doing great things which we can't comprehend. For to the snow, he says, fall on the earth. And to the downpour and the rain, he says, be strong. He seals the hand of every man, that all men may know his work. Then the beast goes into the lair and remains in his den. Out of the south comes the storm, and out of the north comes the cold. From the breath of God, ice is made, and the expanse of the waters is frozen. Also with moisture, he loads the thick cloud. He disperses the clouds of his lightning. It changes direction, turning around by his guidance, that it may do whatever he commands on the face of the inhabited earth. Whether for correction or for his word or for loving kindness, he causes it to happen. Listen to this, O Job. Stand and consider the wonders of God. Do you know how God established them and how he makes the lightning of the clouds to shine? Do you know about the layers of the thick clouds? The wonders of the perfect in knowledge, you whose garments are hot when the land is still because of the south wind. Can you, with him, spread out the skies, strong as the molten mirror?" So this starts out by saying he does great things that we cannot understand. And then he starts to talk about them, how he tells the snow to fall on the earth, how he tells the rain to be a great storm. And he says he seals the hand of every man, meaning he restrains the man's hand from being able to do these things so that all of the men on earth will know that this is his work. And that is exactly what he's talking about here. We purposefully cannot know when the rain is going to fall or which way the wind is going to blow, because God wants us to know that is his purview. He's the one that is in charge of that, and we are not. And that is why we put our faith and trust in him. If we had control over those things, then what need would we have of him? And then he goes on and he talks about how the ice is made from God's breath, and the waters are frozen because of him, and the moisture from the clouds come because of him. And then he says that the clouds change direction at his guidance, which is why the weathermen are not always right, right? Because God says, I'm going to make it go this way. And so the weathermen are telling us, you know, oh, we think that it's going to rain this and this day and this time. And then all of a sudden God says, nah, never mind that direction. That's the way it's going to go. And so all of this is done by design. And it says he does this either for correction or for his world or for his loving kindness, for whatever reason it is that he has. And so we don't know why he chooses to allow one thing to succeed and one thing to fail. One time for it to rain and one time for it not to. One time for it to rain for this person and not for this person, or whatever. We cannot determine these things. We just have to trust that God has a reason. Sometimes it's for his loving kindness. Sometimes it is for the whole world. It doesn't have anything to do with us. It has to do with other people. And sometimes he does it for our correction. We don't know. And so we can't judge him because we don't understand his thought processes. If we understood, then maybe we could dispute it a little bit. We could say, oh, but don't do that for our correction. We already get it. You don't have to do that, you know? Or, you know, I know that you care about the whole world, but can't you just do this for me too? You know, if we knew why he was doing it, but we don't. And the reason we don't is because we can't think about the whole world and we don't know what's best for us and all of the millions of other things that we don't know. And so God is in charge of these things. And so the entire point of the first six verses of chapter 11 in Ecclesiastes is just to say, you put all your effort into what you're doing all of the time over the course of many different things, and then you let God take care of the result, because that is his job. Your job is to work hard and do your best. His job is to take care of the results of it. And so that's the first thing that we need to know that we need to be doing in this life to make the most of our time here, is to work hard and trust in God. And then it goes on in starting in verse 7, and it kind of shifts a focus a little bit. And it says, the light is pleasant and it is good for the eyes to see the sun. Indeed, if a man should live many years, let him rejoice in all of them, and let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything that is to come will be futility. Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of your young manhood. And follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all of these things. So remove grief and anger from your heart and put away from pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. So that kind of tells you right there what he's talking about is you won't be young forever. You won't be in the prime of your life forever. And so every day that you wake up, every day that your eyes see the sun, that's a pleasant day. And so be thankful for every single day that God gives to you, because one day the days will get dark. One day it won't be like this anymore. One day you won't be young. You won't be in the prime of your life. So enjoy that time while you have it. The future also won't last forever. Everything in this life has a season, and none of these seasons last forever. And so enjoy them while you can. Rejoice, do the things that you want to do, do the things that sound good to you, but make sure that they're moral, because God is going to judge you for everything that you do on this earth. So he's saying, I gave you this life to enjoy it, and I want you to do that. But don't forget that I have a way, I have boundaries that I've made for you, and I want you to work within those boundaries. And then he says, remove grief and anger and pain away from your body, because youth and the prime of your life are fleeting. And so what I think he's saying here is, you know, don't spend all of your time being mad or sad or upset in some way, because that's a waste of your time. You don't want to look back on your life and think, I've spent all of my time being mad about something, being bitter about this thing, being sad about something that I can't do anything about. And so he says, you know, it's only going to get harder. So you don't want to spend your early years being upset about the bad things that are going on in your life now, because, you know, later on, you're not even going to have some of the things that you have now. Again, all of the seasons change. And so we don't want to spend our time in this season griping about the things that we don't like, either looking back in the past, wishing that it was different, or looking towards the future, thinking that we just want to get out of this season and move to another. You know, I tell people all of the time, now that my kids are grown and I have lived a little bit of life, I've realized that every season really is fleeting. And so you do need to enjoy the time that you have, and don't waste it griping about things that are going on at this moment, you know, because every season has its hardships and every season has its good things. And so if you spend this time when your kids are babies saying, oh, I'm never getting any sleep and I'm so exhausted, I just can't wait till they get older and they sleep through the night. Yes, we want them to get older and sleep through the night, but you're going to miss that sweet, you know, cuddles that you aren't going to have later, because they're going to be squirming around and they want out of your arms, right? And then whenever they get to be toddlers, you're like, oh my gosh, they're into everything. I just want them to get bigger so that, you know, they can, you know, I'm not having to chase them around all the time and they're just taking all of my energy. And it's like, yes, you do want that. But also, it's such a fun time. And so you're never going to have this time back. And there's going to be a time whenever eventually they grow up and they're totally independent, right? They don't need you walking behind them at all. As a matter of fact, they don't want you there. And so you need to enjoy those times while you have them. You need to enjoy the times when you're single. You need to enjoy the times whenever your kids are grown, whenever you have grandkids, whenever you have great-grandkids. All of these different seasons in our lives, childhood, you know, all of that. We need to enjoy those things. And when things are difficult, instead of sitting there and being angry or bitter or sad, we need to think, this isn't going to last forever. And I can make it until I get out of this season. And I need to just enjoy the things that I have right now, because not only is this bad thing not going to last, but neither is this good thing. And so I need to give it a little bit of time and enjoy the things that I can in this part of my life. And so that's what he's kind of talking about there. Then in chapter 12, he starts talking about aging and death. And I want to tell you guys right now, these are Solomon's words, not mine. So do not get mad at me, because this is a graphic description of getting older. And I wish he would have been a little bit sweeter about it. But I have to say that I think the reason he's talking about it like this is because he wants us to realize that we won't always be able to do the things that we can do right now. And so we need to take the opportunity to do what you can while you can do it. And so keep that in mind as we're talking about it. And then when we get done, we'll talk about a little application for ourselves. And so in chapter 12, he says, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, I have no delight in them, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. So he's saying, Remember God in your early days. Serve him while you can, because the evil days will come. And these are the days that he's talking about that are the end of our life, the time whenever you can't do all of the things that you want to do. And he's going to go on to describe that. And he says, you know, at this time, the clouds loom over you. You know that you're getting older and you know that your time is short. And so he says, before that time comes, remember God. Make sure that you spend your entire life with him instead of just your older years. And then he goes on to describe what it's like getting older. And he talks about the different parts of the body that begin to go. And so he says in verse 3, in that day, the watchmen of the house will tremble and the mighty men will stoop. The grinding ones will stand idle because they are few, and those who look through windows grow dim. And the door on the street is shut as the sounds of the grinding mill is low. And one will arise at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of the song will sing softly. Furthermore, men are afraid of the high places and of terror on the road. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags himself along, and the caperberry is ineffective. For man goes to his eternal home, while mourners go about in the street. Remember him before the silver cord is broken, and the golden bowl is crushed, and the pitcher by the well is shattered, and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to the God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. And so, when he says that the watchmen will tremble and the mighty men will stoop, he's saying the protector of the house will eventually get weak and he will become more vulnerable and less capable of protecting the house because he's not near as strong as he used to be and he's stooped over and he's walking slowly. And so then he goes on and says, the grinding ones stand idle because they are few. They say that this is talking about our teeth because our teeth are the ones that grind the food. And so he says, you start losing your teeth. And so you don't eat as much because you don't have as many teeth. They stand idle. And then he goes on to say, those who look through the window grow dim. Well, your eyes are the window to your body. And so he says, your eyes start growing dim. You're not as able to see as well. And the doors on the street are shut as the sound of the grinding mill is low. And so the doors to your body are your mouth. That's what allows things to come into your body. And so he's saying your mouth is shut because the grinding mill is low, because you have to chew slow and you don't eat as much. And so you don't open your mouth as much. And maybe even your speech is slower, or you can't talk as well as you used to. And so your mouth is, you know, not working as it used to in all of the ways that it did before. And then he says, you will arise at the sound of a bird. And so he's saying, you know, you're going to wake up at the slightest bit of sound. And so he's saying, you're going to wake up early in the morning. Basically, you're not going to sleep well. And you're also not going to hear well. You know, the daughters are going to sing and you're going to be like, what'd you say? I can't hear you. You're talking softly. And they're like, no, I'm not talking softly. You just can't hear me very well anymore. And then he says, furthermore, men are afraid of high places and of terror on the road. Because these men that were used to be protectors, used to be adventurous, used to go out and do all of these things. Now they are not, because they are more vulnerable. And so they stay in more. They're not as adventurous. They're not as risk-taking because they have a lot more to lose and because their bodies aren't able to go out and do like they used to. And then the almond tree blossoms. The blossoms of the almond tree are white. And so he's saying, your hair turns gray. And this is the part that I really hate. He says, the grasshopper drags himself along. And so, you know, he's saying, you're no longer hopping along in life. Now you're dragging your body because you are tired and you can't walk as well as you used to. And then the caperberry is ineffective. The caperberry comes after the flower blooms and becomes fertilized. And so what he's saying is there's going to come a time when you're no longer fertile and you will go to your eternal home while the mourners mourn in the street. So he's describing this process of getting older. Your eyes and your ears and your mind and your mouth and your body, all of these things are going to begin to fail. You know, obviously, every single part of our body doesn't collapse at once, and much of the time it doesn't collapse at all. But these are the things that are characterized by aging. And then he goes on to say, remember him before the silver cord is broken, before the golden bowl is crushed, before the pitcher of the well is shattered and the wheel of the cistern is crushed. And so some people believe he's still continuing with the body analogy, and then others believe that he's just talking about the end of life. And so I'm going to give you a couple of ways to look at this passage. If you are continuing with the body analogy, then the silver cord would be the spinal cord. And so when your nerves quit sending signals to your body to do all the things that it used to tell your body to do. The golden bowl is the brain, because that is the crown of your body. And so your brain doesn't work as well. The pitcher by the well is the heart. This is the place that holds all of the blood of your body and pumps it out. And then the wheels of the cistern is like the spokes on the wheels where the blood flows from the heart. So the arteries and the veins and everything. And so all of those things, you know, your heart doesn't work as well. Your circulation doesn't work as well. If that's what he's talking about. Others believe that he's talking about just aging in general. And so the silver cord is broken, meaning the aging cord is broken. The older, you know, silver is for the hair. And then the golden bowl is the value. The value of your life is going to be gone. Once you die, then none of these things matter anymore. And then the pitcher by the well is just the useful tool, the tool that you use to get the water out. And so you'll no longer be able to do any of these things once you die. So do all of these things before all of that. And then the wheel to the cistern is the active worker. So the older we get, the less we're able to move around like the wheel does. We're not constantly going. Now we're, you know, slowing down. And so either way you choose to look at it, he's describing the aging process. And then he ends by saying, you know, the dust will return to the earth and the spirit will return to the God who gave it. And so he's saying your body will return to the earth. You know, you'll be buried and your spirit will go to be with God in heaven. And so then he ends by saying, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And so all of it is fleeting. None of it matters anymore once you hit that point. And again, this is a graphic and gloomy way to describe the aging and death process. But the whole point is that we need to make the most of our youth, enjoying our life, serving God while we're in our prime. Because as we age, it's going to get harder and harder to do the things that we want to do. And eventually, we're going to lose the chance. And so he's ending his entire book, his entire teaching, by saying, you only get one life. So live it. Don't waste it away. Live it to the fullest. Appreciate the life that God's given to you and love and serve him with everything you have while the opportunity is there. That's what he's saying. And that is an encouraging message. You know, hearing him describe this aging process and the death, that's not encouraging at all. But the rest of it is very encouraging. Live life to the fullest. Enjoy it while you can. And then the very end of Ecclesiastes looks to be written by someone else because he says the preacher taught. And so we're assuming that this is another person coming in at the very end of the book, summarizing the book and summarizing the other things that Solomon did. And so I'm going to read this last several verses, and then we're going to talk about making the most of our lives. And so in verse 9, it says, "In addition to being a wise man, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, and he pondered, searched out, and arranged many proverbs. The preacher sought to find delightful words and to write the words of truth correctly. The words of the wise men are like goads, and masters of the collections are like well-driven nails. They are given by the one shepherd. But beyond this, my son," he warned, "the writing of many books is endless, and the excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is to fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything that is hidden, whether good or bad." So he's saying, Solomon didn't just teach wisdom. He also taught knowledge, just to know things. And in all of his teachings, he did proverbs and all of these different things that he wrote. And he says in all of his teaching, he really thought about what he said so that he could relay it in the best way for people to understand it, and also in the most truthful way that people will accept it. And he says all of these wise words, all of the wise words from all of the wise men on the earth are given to them by the one shepherd, which is God. And he's the one that gives them these words to goad us into the right direction, to prod us in the right direction. That's what the ox goad would do. It's like a pointy plant. And so they would, you know, tap them and say, "Don't go that way, don't go that way, go this way, go that way, go that way, go straight." And so he's saying that's what wisdom does. Wisdom keeps us on the right path. It shows us where to go, keeps us going in the right direction. And like a collection of well-driven nails hold things together. They give us boundaries. They give us walls and fences and all those kinds of things. And so that's what the wise words of Solomon do. They give us stability and boundaries, show us what it is that God wants for us to do. And then he says, but you need to be careful about reading a whole lot of books and trying to figure everything out, because that's just going to wear you out. And so I'm going to summarize the wise teachings of Solomon, because these are the things that you really need to be listening to. And in the end, all of the wisdom that you're going to read is going to tell you the most important thing is fear God and follow his commandments. If you'll do that, then you're going to be good. If you don't do that, then know that God will judge you. God knows everything that you're doing, good or bad. Nothing is hidden from him. And so we need to make sure that we're doing the things that God is wanting us to do. And so I'm going to read you a couple of verses that go along with this. Proverbs 2, 6 to 11 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice. He preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity in every good course. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you." So God is the source of all of that, and he does it for those purposes. And then Proverbs 1:7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." And so that's what he was saying at the end of this, is that the most important thing is to fear God. And that is the beginning of knowledge. That's the beginning of knowing what you need to know. And so listen and pay attention. Let people instruct you and give you wisdom so that you will be in good shape. Deuteronomy 10, 12 to 14 says, "Now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you, but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, and keep the Lord's commands and his statutes, which I'm commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belongs heaven and the highest heavens, the earth and all that is in it. And so what does God want you to do? Fear him and keep his commandments. That's what he was telling us in this other verse. And then Hebrews 4:13, there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him whom we have to give account. And so that's just reminding us that God sees and knows everything that we're doing, and we will have to give account for it one day. And so make sure that you're living a life that is pleasing to God. While you're living your life to the fullest, while you're making the most of it, make sure that it is aligned with God's ways and that you're doing the things that are pleasing to him, because those are the things that are going to last. If you'd like to receive this as a written lesson, then go to livethroughjesus.substack.com and become a paid subscriber there. With your subscription, you'll receive 4 lessons every month by email and access to all the previous lessons. And digital studies are great because all of these scripture references are linked, and so you can just click on them right from your device. You don't have to flip through your Bible, and you can change it to whatever version you want to read the lesson in. Then digital studies are also good if you'd like to do them with a group, because you only have to get one subscription and then you can just print off all of your materials, so everybody doesn't have to get their own book. And so it's only $6 a month or $60 a year, and you'll just be able to do continuous studies with me. So go to livethroughjesus.substack.com if you would like this written study. As I've already said multiple times, Solomon is not trying to disparage older people or say that they don't have anything to offer, right? Throughout the Bible, it talks about how with age comes wisdom, and how that wisdom not only benefits you, but it benefits those that are younger than you. And so obviously, Solomon isn't saying, you know, you're not worth anything anymore, we don't think you're important or anything like that. That's not the point of it. A couple of verses that talk about that. Job 12:12 says, wisdom is with the age, with long life comes understanding. And then Hebrews 5:14 says, solid food is for the mature, who because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. So people are wise, they know right from wrong, the older they get, and they get more understanding. And so it's not a bad thing to get old, it's just different. It's a different season. And so while we're young, we do have opportunities that we didn't have whenever we're older. And so we don't need to let that time go to waste. There will come a day when we won't be able to have children anymore. And there may come a time whenever we're not able to see or hear or think as well, whenever we can't work as hard, whenever we don't feel like we have the ability to take as much risk or be as adventurous as we used to be, whenever we don't go out as much or do as much as we used to do, when we aren't as strong or energetic or as independent as we are right now. And so he's not saying this to be discouraging, but to encourage us to take advantage of all of the benefits of being young while we can. Don't waste that time by being sad or angry or unhappy or lazy or reckless or selfish. Instead, we need to enjoy our lives, work hard, serve God with everything we have, because we don't want to reach the end of our life with a multitude of regrets. Psalm 90:12 says, teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. If we are gathering wisdom as we grow, then when we get older, we're going to be wise. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. So make sure that everything that you're doing, be purposeful of it right now, because it needs to be pleasing to God. And then John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you may have life more abundantly. And so because Jesus came so that we can have this abundant, wonderful life, don't let Satan steal it away by making you angry or bitter, focused on the wrong things. Allow yourself to, you know, focus on the good things and be happy that you are awake today, happy that you have the abilities that you have and you're able to do the things that you're able to do. And so we're not going to lose all of those things, most likely. There's plenty of people in the Bible that he says, you know, his strength was as many as his days, things like that. And so very possibly you won't experience every single one of these aged situations, right? But think about it in case you do. In case there comes a day when your eyes and your ears and your mind and your body do not work as well, what can you do with those things now? What is it that you need to see right now that you could do good with now that because your eyes are still working, right? What can you do good and important with your eyes? What can you do good and important for the Lord with your ears, with your mind, with your body? Use your strength and your energy and all of the other assets to do things that matter. Don't leave things on the table at the end of the day. You know, while you're still able to use all of these things, while you're still here on this earth, whatever energy you have, whether it be a ton of energy or a very small amount, whatever strength you have, whatever abilities that you have to do something good for God, for yourself, for others, for your family, do it. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time using these assets. Don't waste your time being angry or upset or griping about the things that you don't have. There is something that you have. You are useful to someone and something always, no matter what, or you wouldn't be here. And so we can sit around and we can say, well, I can't do this anymore, and I can't do this anymore, and I really wish I could do that, but I can't. Or we could say, you know what? I might not can do that, but I can do this, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to be of benefit to God while I'm living on this earth. I'm going to be of benefit to other people while I'm living here on this earth. And so do everything that you can. Get out. Enjoy life. Don't waste your time on things that don't matter. Romans 12:1 says, present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Give your bodies over to God, saying, I'll do whatever with this body that you ask me to do. Ephesians 5:15-17, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil, they're few. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what is the will of the Lord. And then Mark 12:30-31. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And the second commandment is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. This is how you're supposed to live your life. If you're going to fear God and follow His commandments and make the most of your life, follow this scripture. Love God with every single bit of you and love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Take care of them like you take care of you. And then if you're still at the age where you can get married and have children and you have not done so yet, do it. A family is going to serve you much better in your old age than anything else that you attain on this earth. They're going to take care of you. They're going to love you. They're going to value you. And they're going to bring more value to your life, value that far outweighs anything that your youth and your vitality could produce. And so remember, you know, that everything that you do while you're young matters. But eventually, you won't be able to do many, many things. But if you had children, then that is going to last you into your old age. The rest of the things may not last you anymore. But your family will always be there. They're going to make up for anything else that you may or may not have done. And so treasure them. They're the most important thing that you could put your efforts into. Psalm 127:3-5 says, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. And then Proverbs 17:6 says, grandchildren are a crown of old men, and the glory of sons is their fathers. And so family is so important. And they're the ones that are going to care about the wisdom that you've gained over the years. They're the ones that are going to listen to you. They're the ones that are going to be add value to your life. If you feel as though you've lost other things, you won't have lost them. And so pour into your kids and your grandkids while you can. And work hard, do your best, give God everything you have in this life, because He's given you He's given you this life. He wants you to enjoy it, and He wants you to do something important with it. And so that's all I have for today. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. We will be either going to Song of Solomon, which I'm not sure about yet. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to teach over that book, but I'm going to look it over. And then, or we're going to be going back to 2 Kings and talking about the next king after Solomon. So make sure you subscribe so you don't miss that episode. Also, if you want the blog post that goes along with this, then become a free subscriber at livethroughjesus.substack.com. And as I get the blog post written, I will email them out to you. But until I get each one of them done, you can always go back and read all the past blog posts. There's several there. And then also follow me on social media at livethroughjesus, and I'll be posting clips from this and scriptures from this. So that's all I have for you today. I'll see you back next week. Thanks, and have a good day. Thank you.